Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Morning.
Good morning.
Has joined.
We will begin with the study of the sixth Aliyah from Parashat Truma after Lashem Yehud. L'shem Yehud, Kudsha Barichu, Ishkinte, Bithilu, Urchimu, Uthilu, Uthilu, Urchimu. L'yachda, L'shem, Yudhe, Bovavhe, L'yichuda, Shalim, B'shem, Kol Yisrael, Limud Torah Mitzvah, La'sok Torah Mitzvah, V'yehino am Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Ma'aseh Yadeinu Kananei Aleinu Ma'aseh Yadeinu Kananeihu. The sixth portion of Parashat Truma begins with Exodus chapter 27. It begins at verse 1 and completes at verse 8. This is a total of 8 verses. The number 8 connects to Bina. It connects to being outside of our physical world, which is based on the number 7. 7 lower Sephirot. The 7 continents, the 7 seas, the 7 numbers, the seven notes in music, 7 colors, etc. The number 8 indicates something above the physical. Verse 1, V'asita et hamizbeah atse shetim chamesh amot orech chamesh amot rochav ravuah yihye hamizbeah v'shalosh amot komato. We are sita karnotav al arba pinotav mimenu tihiena karnotav vitzipichta oto nechoshe. We are sita sirotav V'dashno v'yav u'mizrekotav u'mizbechotav u'machtotav l'kol kelav ta'asen nechoshet v'asita lo mikbar ma'aseh
has joined.
We are sita al hareshet arba tabeot nechoshet al harba ketzota v'natata otatat karkov hamizbea milmata. V'hayta hareshet ad hatzi amizibea v'asita vadim la mizbea v'adea tse shitim v'tzipita otam nechoshet v'chuvayet badav Vatabaot v'hayu habadim al shetei tzeloot ha-mizbeach b'shet oto nevu leuchot ta'ase oto ka'asher hera od ha-bahar ken ya'asu. That's the completion of the reading of the sixth Aliyah in Hebrew. We'll now be looking at the translation. And you shall make the altar of acacia wood, 5 cubits long and 5 cubits wide. The altar shall be square, and its height shall be 3 cubits. Do you see anything in this verse that doesn't need to be there? I'm asking the question, it's not a rhetorical question, but if nobody wants to answer, which is okay, why would you need to be told square when it's 5 cubits by 5 cubits? You shouldn't be need to be told that the altar is square. So why are we being told this? What is this essence? What is the idea of something being square? Something being square means there are 4 points, just like there are 4 worlds, just like there are 4 major sephirot, Chesed, Gevura, Tiferet, and Malchut, in the physical perspective. Now people ask, well, what happens to Netzach, Hod, and Yesod? And they are important, but they are less important than Chesed, Gevura, and Tiferet. And there are many times in the Torah and in the Zohar where it expresses the idea of this number 4 being Chesed, Gevura, Tiferet, and Malchut. Verse number 2, and you shall make its horns on its 4 corners. Its horn shall be from it, and you shall overlay it with copper. Now, why isn't it being overlaid with gold, but copper? Because copper is a metal that represents balance. It represents the central column. Gold would be making it left column. But almost everything else is overlaid with gold. Verse number 3. And you shall make its pots to remove its ashes, and its shovels, and its sprinkling basins, and its flesh hooks, and its scoops. You shall make all its implements of copper. Again, copper is this metal of balance. Whereas if you make it out of gold or silver on a practical level, they're probably going to be not withstanding the heat of the altar when it's burning. Copper is a stronger metal because you're adding brass and you're adding components that make it impure, but it's And I don't mean impure in a negative sense. It just means that it's not of one metal. But this is what gives it strength. This is what we do with steel and all the different components of steel, which is just iron, but with other impurities, other metals added to make the mix. And in making the mix, it strengthens it or changes its properties.
Copper holds better with heat also.
That's what I was saying, that it would, the gold or silver would probably not stand up to the heat of the fire.
Yeah, they use copper tubing for hot water lines.
Correct. Verse 4, and you shall make for it a copper grating of netting work. And you shall make on the netting four copper rings on its four ends. So what do you think the purpose of the netting is? Netting made out of metal. Verse 5, and you shall place it beneath the ledge of the altar from below, and the net shall extend downward until the middle of the altar. So you can visualize the four copper rings on the netting attaching to something on the altar table, the top of the altar. But why does it go further than the middle? It hangs down on all four sides, but why doesn't it go down? And we know the length of this copper netting because the height of the table, the height of the altar is 3 cubits, so it's 1.5 cubits. But the idea of the netting hanging down to the middle of the altar, whenever you connect to the middle, you're connecting to the central column. That's why the Torah says middle and doesn't say it's 1.5 cubits. Verse 6, and you shall make poles for the altar, poles of acacia wood, and you shall overlay them with copper. And its poles shall be inserted into the rings, and the poles shall be on both sides of the altar when it is carried. You shall make it hollow out of boards, as he showed you on the mountain, so shall they do. Well, first off, we have to make sure it is the altar, the Mizbeach. So the altar, which is made out of acacia wood, is hollow. Why is it hollow? Because it would take more than four men to carry it. Now, we know the ark carried itself, but it doesn't say that about the ark, the Mizbeach. It doesn't say that about the altar. And do you know the difference between ark and altar? I hope you do. That's the end of the English translation. Does anybody have any questions? Perek Shira, Chapter 4. Page 11, the second paragraph on page 11, which is the 30th paragraph of chapter 4. And I mentioned yesterday, there are 32 paragraphs in chapter 4, which started out with birds, and then it dealt with insects, and then it goes into the sea. With yesterday we discussed the sea monsters, the taninim, which in modern day Hebrew means the crocodiles. And the other place where this idea of the taninim is used is when it's referring to Bo El Paro in the parasha of Bo, where it's to Hashem says to Moses, come with me to Pharaoh. The Zohar explains that it's coming to the crocodiles, which are the negative entities, the highest level of negativity. The next paragraph, which is, as I said, paragraph 30, Leviathan Omer Hodu Ladonai Yohe Wahe Adanu Yo Yohe Dawanu Heyo Ki Tov Ki Leolam Chasdo. This is a very famous verse from Tehillim, from Psalms. The Leviathan is saying, give thanks to Hashem, for he is good, for his kindness endures forever. Now, it's an interesting question. Chasdo really doesn't mean kindness. It means loving kindness. The way it's translated, it's implying, at least to me, his kindness enduring forever means his actions. But if we go and give tzedakah, if we give truma to a homeless person, does that action endure forever? On the physical level, it doesn't. The man spends the money. So on the physical level, it's not enduring forever. And that's my perception of the word kindness. It's an action. Whereas if we read the Hebrew, chasdo is his chesed. The vav at the end of the word means his. His chesed, what is his chesed? It's the essence of loving kindness. It's the essence of water. What is water? Water is the highest physical item in the world, other than man, other than maybe animals. But water is an element that is needed for life. It represents loving kindness, and that essence endures forever. But the actions, they can not be forever. But on a different level, on the spiritual level, there is never a disappearance in spirituality. That's what this verse from Psalms is teaching us. That all of our actions, both good and negative, are there recorded in the spiritual levels. The Zohar says they're recorded on your bones. You ever wonder why women tend to lose their calcium in their bones and have them break? God forbid. Why is that happening? Why doesn't it happen as often to men? It does happen to some men, but why women? And I'm going to get myself into trouble, but I need to speak truth to understand. Why did this the snake try to seduce Eve, because the female is more closest associated with the left column, with the desire to receive, because she is a manifestor. She develops babies in her womb. She makes things happen. The whole idea of marriage, the whole idea of the relationship between male and female, the male goes out into the world and brings in light. In today's world, light is called money. It's much more than money, we know that. But for this discussion, the male goes into the world and earns money, earns light. He brings that light back into the home where his wife manifests it. She decides where to spend it. Now, this is not true in every marriage, but this is the epitome of the Jewish marriage. It's not true today because women are going out and working. Why are they working? Because the society is saying through its actions that it needs women to earn money in order to have the lifestyle that they want, because a man by himself is no longer able to live and procure a lifestyle on his income alone. Now, we need to understand who is the Leviathan. The Leviathan is not a sea monster. It's a different word. The Leviathan is a positive, extremely large fish. It is said, according to the Midrash, that Hashem, during the creation, created a male and a female Leviathan, and then he utilized the female in ways, but she essentially died. And the Midrash says the reason that this was done was because if the Leviathan was allowed to procreate and bring children who would grow into Leviathans, there would be no more space in the sea. That's how large the fish is. Obviously, I'm using the word fish because that's what the Midrash and the Hebrews use it as. They don't say whale, because to describe a whale, you say dog, a fish, you say dog gadol, a large fish. Or you could say a dog gadol meod, a very large fish. But the word for Leviathan is describing this mythical creature that it is said that the righteous, the tzaddikim, will dine on with the Mashiach. That there will be a battle between the beast and the Leviathan for hegemony. And both animals will be eaten at the feast of the Mashiach. I'm sure others of you know more about the Leviathan, and if you wish to say so, please do so. The 31st paragraph. Dagim Omrim Kol Adonai Yohewahe Adanu Yo Yohahe Dawanu Heyo Al Hamayim Al Hakavod Hirim Adonai Yohewahe Adanu Yo Yohahe Dawanu Heyo Al Mayim Rabim verse from Psalms. The fishes are saying, the voice of Hashem is upon the waters. Hashem of glory thunders. Hashem is upon many waters. Now, you see three words for God in the English translation. But I only see two in the verse of the name Hashem. The third name, which is the middle name, is El or Al. One of the things to recognize about this issue is Hashem is not being called glory, the God of glory. Now, kavod means to honor. The phrase is Al HaKavod, the God of glory is the translation. But kavod really means to honor. It's also the word for your liver. Where is your liver? Who resides in your liver? Your the negative system. The Satan within you is in the liver. These are the dualities that are present in the Hebrew language that we need to relate to and understand and try and reconcile. How can Satan, who's living in the liver, how can the liver be the home and represent honor? Now the vowels are different, and the vowels are then therefore meaningful because they connect a different sephirot. Paragraph 32. Sephardea omeret Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuto Leolam Vaed. This is a verse that's coming from the Talmud, from a discussion of the holiday of Pesach. You all know the translation, but let's read it. And why is the frog saying, blessed is the name of the honor of his kingdom for all eternity? Now let's look at the words in Hebrew. Baruch is blessing. Shem is name. But it's translated into English as the name. It doesn't mean that. It's a name. Kivod is honor, as we discussed in the paragraph above. But you see the difference in the translation in the vowels between kavod, hakavod in the paragraph 31 and kavod and kavod in verse 32. Malchuto means his kingdom, but it also means his malchut, the sephirah. Leolam could be universe, could be world, could be eternity, as it is here, Leolam Waed. But that's not the meaning of the words. It's an idiom. It's come to mean that. People utilize it. Leolam means universe. Waed means and witness. What you are doing with Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuto Le'olam Wa'ed, what you are doing is taking any excess energy that your vessel was too small to handle, that you may have drawn, and you're grounding that energy. Now, why did the frog say this? It's very powerful. The frog is an interesting animal in that it can live on land or sea, if water or land. It's that hybrid, the amphibian. But it's also the second plague in Egypt. The second plague is it Yesod? Or is it Bina? Or is it Chachma? The questions I'm going to leave unanswered, I want you to think about the answer to the question. Are there any questions as we have completed our study today? We will have a class at 11 o'clock, West Coast time, for the Shir HaShirim as well as the 7th Aliyah. Shalom Gadol, Shabbat Shalom to everyone. If you have not lit a candle for Moshe Rabbeinu, you still have time, and it is all right. It is recommended to light a candle during the day if you did not do so at night. Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom. Thank you, Hanout.
Thank you.